Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, the show that takes a look at film, pop culture, tech, because in the end, everything is an ad. Hello, I'm Shannon Miller, the creative and inclusion editor here at Adweek. Joining me, as always, is our community editor, Luz Corona. Hello, co-host.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
You know, I am scratching and surviving, trying my best.
Aren't we all?
It's fall in certain places. Florida doesn't know that, but the rumor is that fall has started.
If the rumors are true from here on the East Coast, I can confirm.
Okay, cool. I enjoy that for you guys.
Thank you so much.
We have an excellent show in store for us today. And why is that, Luz? Who's our special guest today?
Our special guest is our friend and colleague, Jameson Fleming, who is our agency's editor. Jameson is coming in on 7 years with Adweek, and he's held quite a few roles with us. But Jameson, let me pass it to you and just share a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited for my first Luz and Shannon podcast. I've done Griner and Nudd, Griner and Co., Griner and Shannon, and now Next Evolution. I feel like there's probably another host in there that I'm forgetting. I apologize to that person. Maybe Doug Zanger. But yeah, I'm excited to be here. I oversee agencies coverage, and for me, I've prioritized new business as something that I write a ton about, and trying to help the industry solve the problems around pitching for new business, because it's an expensive, tiring, awful thing half the time. So let's do it.
Jameson is the go-to whenever I like have like a pressing agency question, which usually results into like, is this a thing? Is it okay for me to feel this way about this thing? And Jameson's usually like, yes, because I feel that way too. So it always makes me feel really reassured when I get the Fleming sign off on a thought that I can't really like put into words. And this week there was a lot of that, actually. Jameson, you wrote a story titled "The Martin Agency Wins 3 More Accounts, All Without a Pitch." And I'm seeing this as a bit of a phenomenon this week. Well, before we get into all of that, can you tell us a little bit about this Martin story?
Yeah, so the Martin Agency, little history there, you know, 2020, they have a huge new business year, added some pretty impressive clients. 2021, they deliver on those clients, just exceptional work. And this year, it's like a cyclical thing because they are back. They won Bud Light Seltzer, I guess that was in August, which is, you know, one of the probably 3 or 4 biggest, you know, clients to change hands this year. So a huge win for them. And then quietly, they've added a lot of other business. They added Legal Shield, they added Santander US, Royal Caribbean. They have done a lot of work on Hasbro brands, most notably Nerf, but they added a couple more lines of business there. So they continue to add on, and a lot of it is attributed to just prior relationships that they have with clients, as opposed to having to go into these, you know, pitches that can run 6 figures, or in extreme cases like Coca-Cola, run into seven or eight figures, investments.
Oh. That's crazy. And you know what? Coming from agency side, being there for a few years, it's this headline was really attention grabbing. I particularly liked your newsletter subject line the other day, Jameson, Martin Agency wins not one, not two, but three brands. When I was agency side, pitches were a big deal. You know, you saw executives, you saw up and coming talent from all different teams just lock themselves in like a fishbowl room, just covered with paper. And then you saw them pull late nights and all hands on deck. What are your thoughts on this? Like, do you see kind of like a turn in the industry on going towards like pitchless wins, or what is it about this instance in particular that was so different?
Yeah, so there's definitely a growing movement. You'll see a lot of agencies use the term ditch the pitch. I think we're going to see a lot more of that, of better new relationship building, where a lot of these brands, especially brands that are, you know, spending under $25 or $50 million a year, like, there's no reason to have a drawn-out three-month pitch for that business. You know, odds are you have a specific need or two, and if you're using the right pitch consultant who has done their homework on hundreds of agencies, they should be able to just line up 3 to 5 agencies for you to do a chemistry meeting with, and maybe like a second meeting, and you should be able to pick a winner. You shouldn't need spec work. You shouldn't need this long, drawn-out pitch where you're whining and dining and you're going through this motions 3 months or 6 months. It's just not necessary in a lot of cases. And that's what we saw with the Martin Agency winning those accounts. Was two of them were previous relationships that Kristen Cavallo had with those clients when she was at MullenLowe, and she comes to the Martin Agency, you know, she's been there for a number of years now. But when the opportunity came to potentially move their business to a new agency, you know, Kristen was somebody that was a logical person for these CMOs to immediately call up and, you know, say, hey, we love your work. You know, do you want to have a meeting about this? And the third one was simply a former Martin employee going client side, you know, saying, hey, I want to bring the business back. So, you know, it's you see it a lot, especially among some of the more veteran agency leaders, but it's also kind of a place of privilege that if you've been around the industry for a long time and you've taken the time to develop those relationships, you know, winning business that way is a lot easier than for newer agencies where you maybe, you know, haven't been around the block long enough to just like have a CMO go, I want you to be my agency.
Mm-hmm. That was my next question, because, I mean, this is great for somebody who is like a 10-year, 20-year veteran, but if you're a smaller shop, as you mentioned, just starting out, which is especially the case for like multicultural shops, I mean, those are usually things that are born of not being able to get the creative work that you want in an industry, so you kind of have to start from scratch a little bit. And so if we're talking about a pitchless world where an agency doesn't have an opportunity to prove themselves, how are they able to navigate this world, still get business, and kind of still be able to roll with the times that may see, like, not the end of the pitch, but like the severe reduction of the pitch process?
Yeah, so I mean, they work a lot on referrals. And you see that a lot of, you know, one client likes them, they go somewhere else, they refer them, you know, to their, you know, colleagues. And so there's a lot of that going on, and a lot of this project-based work of, oh, hey, you know, I hear you're a hot shot that does this, and, you know, do you want to take on this one project for us? And that one project becomes a bigger project, and then that bigger mm-hmm. project becomes a retainer. And so you see a lot of smaller agencies that are really excelling right now kind of work off of that. I mean, Mischief is definitely one of these agencies that has built it off a reputation very quickly of brands just wanting to come to them. Mm-hmm. And Mischief has had to pitch for some of their wins, but, you know, there's been a number where they were pretty much just referred and just said, hey, you know, I had one meeting and won. When they won Anytime Fitness over the summer, they had one chemistry meeting, and I think it took 10 minutes for Anytime Fitness to hire them.
Whenever I like see, because there's like a couple of agencies that where that's the case, where they're just doing like a lot of project based work, and I always look at it as like, watching like two friends like kind of date. It's like, when are you guys just gonna call it? Like, when are you just gonna be official? Like, you're going on all these dates, you're doing all these projects. When are you guys just going to jump the broom already? So yeah. It's interesting to kind of see this like area where like that could actually work to their favor in a huge way. Like, maybe you don't get to, maybe that's the way that you build that relationship too, is like, we can do this cool project, please come back again. And then maybe hopefully like a year or two down the line, they can actually be like, okay, we are the AOR. It's deeply fascinating, this sort of like weird pitch workaround world that we're living in.
Yeah. And it's fascinating because I feel like you see more and more of brands just having a ton of agencies on the roster. I mean, I find it confusing when I'm like trying to figure out, who did some work, and it's like
super okay, confusing.
AOR, so like, what other seven agencies have done project work that you can like start to investigate and figure out who the heck did this piece of work that we love? it's really frustrating and annoying. When we're struggling at that point, but I get it. You know, it makes sense. You get to dip your toe in many different lakes and figure out which one you like best. Is that the metaphor? I don't know.
sounds right to me. Pretty on point. So, Jameson, this leads one to think about the chain of events that follows, you know, like a volume of like this of wins, right? So the Martin agency, it looks like they staffed up 20%. We're currently during a time where we see more employee layoffs across agencies, but Martin agency is hiring back in. What are your, like, but admittedly, they said it, you know, it's kind of like a cautious move because you don't know what happens with business. You know, have you heard any more about that around the industry? Like how these kind of, when agencies win these accounts, staffing up to not burn out other employees, like what is the mindset there?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, when somebody does win a big account, it's like all of a sudden you'll see on Fishbowl, it's like, oh, how do you get a hold of this agency to like go join, because you know they're going to be hiring like 50 or 100 people. And so, I mean, that's really not gone unchanged from what I hear. I mean, when somebody wins a lot of business, it's like, how can you get people in fast enough? Which then becomes a challenge when you think about agency culture, because a lot of agencies are being more thoughtful about the people they bring in to make sure they're the right fits. But when you go on a winning streak, you sometimes have to sacrifice that so that all of your clients don't suffer because you're down 50 or 100 people, or in some cases across the holding companies, it's, you know, hundreds of people.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hatch, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content, so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I want to double back a little bit to something that you mentioned in regards to the pitch consultant, where you talked about you know, if you're dealing with a good pitch consultant, they'll be able to sort of eliminate a lot of that guesswork when it comes to chemistry. Is something like this going, do you think that something like this is, could lead to like the rise of the pitch consultant, or is this like a time for like the pitch consultant to really, really shine?
That's a good question. Pitch consultants, I think, are in a weird place right now because I feel like agencies are slowly trying to move away from pitches, and so that's less work for them. But the ones who are really standing out that I hear most often good things about are the ones who are treating the pitch as more of a dating game where they, you know, they're more of the actual matchmaker, and that's what they really invest in. You know, I've heard a lot about Lindsay Slaby with Sunday Morning, I want to say her consultancy is. I apologize to her if I just butchered the name of her company, but I've heard a lot of good things about her, about how she like really takes the time to really get to know agencies and match them up. Pete Carter is another one. He's a former P&G brand side executive where he used to do all the matchmaking for P&G brands, where he would just get to know agencies, and what he does, this is what he does in his consultancy now, is he just gets to know agencies inside and out. And a client comes to him and says, hey, here's my problem. And he gives them a short list of agencies and they do like one meeting and that's it. We just wrote earlier this week on Dude Wipes going to Curiosity, and it was that exact process of very slimmed down. You know, Curiosity went up against a few agencies, you know, in these, you know, slimmed down meetings, and within minutes they had won the account, and it was as simple as that.
Wow.
Yeah. When you said pitch consultant, I admittedly had not really heard of the term, and I just envisioned like an Olivia Pope of the agency world, like the brand agency world.
Yeah.
You know, like who is normally in those roles, and you know, what does their work look like?
We have fresh suit, click clacking heels, knows exactly who to connect you to, knows which ECD is going to really deliver for you. Yeah.
I have pictures exactly. Those headshots are up on the bulletin board of the ECDs that you got to connect with and all that. So, Jameson, I want to move us to another story you did about another kind of a pitchless review. Ogilvy continues hot streak, snagging H&R Block without a formal review. And in this case, it looks like the new H&R Block CMO, Jill Kress, made the decision to go for them. And that main insight was based on, okay, let, you know, we'll say H&R Block, tax convos, kind of hard to have outside the popular time frame when we need to do taxes. They want to change mm-hmm. that. They want to keep conversations going year round. And she wanted to insert brand into culture. And Ogilvy was the agency of choice there. You know, what are your thoughts on like how Ogilvy is the agency to think of when it comes to inserting brand into culture?
Yeah, so that one was interesting. I mean, that when, you know, I asked them, I was like, how do you insert a tax company into culture in a way that, you know, you're not going to roll your eyes at? And, you know, they had good points of, you know, 15 years ago, you wouldn't have thought that Dove would be a soap brand, would be the one driving a conversation about beauty. And I was like, okay, that's fair. And you've seen that with, you know, some other financial brands having you know, really strong campaigns that, you know, really resonate into culture. And so, you know, Ogilvy's got a, you know, long reputation of, you know, creative excellence. They've been quiet for a few years, at least in North America, but they're roaring back of late. You know, we've seen it with winning Coca-Cola, being the main agency there, and SC Johnson, which was another review that just broke like a week or two ago. And they won Audi, which is, you know, a brand that is often in culture. And so, you know, I think they are repositioning themselves well as a place where creativity really shines, because they've hired every freaking creative on the planet, it seems like, in the last year, at least on the leadership team. So it'll be interesting to see how that trickles down through the organization and whether the work, you know, really explodes, you know, over the next year there, because they've had a strong year as is. But that was a relationship where Jill Kress, you know, had a vision in mind for the you know, what she wanted in her marketing, and she wanted more than her previous agency could offer. Had a great relationship with Devika, the global CEO at Ogilvy, the new global CEO over at Ogilvy, and it was a logical fit. They began having conversations a couple months ago and made it official.
You know, H&R Block is actually in a really interesting position because right now there's a lot of robust conversation around financial literacy. So there's a real opportunity for them to connect in that way. Cash App has done a really good job of tapping into culture by hiring a lot of Black artists. Like the last spot that they did with Kendrick Lamar was absolutely gorgeous. I mean, they went to his agency for that. So there, that was a big reason as to why that spoke so innately to Black culture. But there is a way for institutions that do have that like seasonal sort of, I guess what you, I don't know what you would call it. I guess like a seasonal like setback. Well, not setback, but what is the obstacle? There we go. Yes. I mean, it was a huge obstacle for them to be able to break out of sort of that prescribed time. But if we're talking about financial literacy, that's something that is relevant all year round. So it'll be really interesting to see if they take advantage of that and kind of follow in those footsteps. So we'll see. I'm definitely interested in seeing like how that turns out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were talking about, you know, they're trying to get more into the B2B space because, you know, every small business needs a bookkeeper and needs, you know, tax work and other financial work done throughout the year. So that's a huge opportunity for them, you know, to do something different and attract a new audience. And, you know, they're trying to do B2B and B2C. And, you know, Ogilvy has had IBM for a very long time, and that's one of the, you know, shining examples in advertising of how you do B2B and B2C work. So, I mean, there's certainly a history there at Ogilvy of shining in this space.
Yeah, definitely. I guess my final question to you would be what, between those two articles, because those were pretty indicative of a certain direction that our industry is going in, what can marketers take away from that in terms of like building relationships that result in new and good business?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, take care of your clients, get to know them. Our fall fellow over the summer, Nandika Chatterjee, also wrote about Terry and Sandy, about how they develop relationships. I advise every marketer to go back and read that story because Terry and Sandy put on a clinic for us explaining how they nurture relationships with clients, you know, even after they leave whatever their brand is and they're looking for the next opportunity. You know, they're like, we're always, you know, we're their first phone call always. We want to maintain that relationship because when they do go somewhere, you want them to immediately think of you. And so, you know, that's the biggest thing that I would say.
That's great advice, Jameson. And this kind of ties into, this is one of my last questions for you on the third piece that you wrapped up really excellent reporting as usual last week. But your third piece that just came out about brands finding it painful to address agencies' most pressing pitching problems. Kind of a really nice sum up of the coverage that you did this week. But can you tell us a little bit about your findings there?
Yes, that one, I mean, it was surprising, but also not surprising. I mean, everybody kind of knows that brands are going to do their own thing for pitches, and they're going to do what's best for them, and they're not always going to really take into consideration agencies' needs during pitches. But there are certain things that brands really need to do if they want better caliber partners. And so it's providing basic information. Like 98% of agencies were like, we need to know the budget for the account we're pitching. I want to know what 2% of agencies are like, yeah, sure, I don't give a who how much we're going to pay. Or like, how are those 2% of agencies still in business? But anyways, then, you know, 98% say it's valuable, but it was like a quarter of brands say that's not painful to provide. And it's like, how is that? How are they not realizing that you got to at least pitch, give them basic information? And there's other things in there, like brands don't want to give access to senior leaders, and they don't want agencies to be able to publicize. They don't want to let agencies know who they're competing against, which is another important thing, because if you're a smaller agency and you're really having to pick your spots of what you're going to pitch, if you're actually the smallest, biggest long shot to win that account, you need to know that up front because you may not join that pitch because you're only going to pitch stuff that you really think you can win if you only have a certain amount of accounts that you feel like you can pitch for in a year. And so it was just kind of, you know, really interesting to see the 4As and ANAs coming together on this research and seeing it so one-sided because agencies aren't aren't faultless in it. There's many agencies who will undercut price, who will not follow the rules of the pitch, and just make things difficult for other agencies. So those agencies are certainly out there and, you know, need to get their act together. But, you know, largely the issues come from the brand side, and that story really, really exposed that.
That's so interesting. And I'm glad you did a piece on that, because I just always saw it from the other end. And like, how do you tell brands, you know, like, this is an issue, we're trying to win your business, you know? And especially what caught my attention is having access to the higher up brand leaders, especially in today's day and age. There's so many cultural moments that you want to respond to and, you know, in that moment, and you need access to the decision makers to kind of move things quick. And that was always something I saw that lagged agency side, unfortunately.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show today to give us a little peek at the newer trajectory of the agency client relationship. It's really fascinating from the creativity side, because we don't get these granular details very often. So I am really interested and excited to see where this new world kind of takes us. So thank you so much for all of your information, Jameson.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. I think a year ago when I took this role, I never assumed I'd spend my day texting new business people like all day, every day. But they are some of the most fascinating people in the agency world to get their perspective on. So if you don't know them, you should go out and get to know your new business people, because they're cool people.
That's awesome.
More solid advice.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by me, Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Boutwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.